This is a good time to be alive. Man, all of heaven rejoices when one person turns. Oh. Well, I'm going to do my best. The presence of the Lord is really strong. My name is Megan. For those of you who I have not met, it's been a good night already. We could go home right now, and it would still be so good. And I'm really excited to actually share a word the Lord gave me in January for this church. And I was praying for this, praying for all of us and asking what he had for us this year. And I heard the Lord say there's going to be a move of generosity that comes from this house. And a few other things he told me, and many of those things are coming to pass. And when we first started seeing money come up on the altar, I said, Lord, is this the move of generosity that you're talking about? And he said, it's the start of it. And then God is Near came, and we had incredible signs and wonders from the Lord. And I said, Lord, is this part of the move of generosity? And he said, the revelation of me is what catalyzes generosity. And every sign, every miracle is a window into who he is. And that catalyzes generosity. And so as we're seeing these incredible moves of God, even tonight I was smelling the cotton candy fragrance again. Did anybody else smell the fragrance of God? Wow, you guys did too. Wow. I mean, even that alone, I'm asking the Lord, what does that mean? And he's just so extravagant that he would come and diffuse a fragrance that literally is like Disneyland. And as he's building this testimony of himself in this house, I saw what was next is I saw this. It was almost like a drone video over the church. And I saw the Lord coming and displaying himself in mighty ways and showing himself strong and increasing in the revelation of him. And the worship started to expand and the prayer started to expand and the believers started to get charged up and filled with the knowledge of God, and their hearts were like expanding. And it's almost as if the walls of this church were like reverberating, like when water fills a water balloon. And I'm seeing just this increase of the government of God, the increase of himself, the increase of his peace. And it's like pushing against the walls. And then the front door is just burst open and out flooded a sea of people. And what I saw was these people, us, were so filled with joy, so filled with celebration, so filled with the power of the gospel. So filled with a heart of worship and prayer and praise and adoration and love that we were running out of the doors. But what stuck out to me is there was a towel around every one of our arms, as if to say, they're also generous in their humility. They're generous in their servitude. They're generous in meekness, they're generous in the Beatitudes, they're generous in going low. And it was this beautiful eruption from the house of God. And I said, Lord, how do we get there? And he said, I want you to look at me, see me, and I want to increase the revelation of me in your house. Because out of seeing him and experiencing him, generosity automatically comes. And what I want to kind of do tonight is maybe dust off the word generosity, maybe expand our understanding more than a tithe, more than just money. It's so much bigger than that. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm looking at the hearts of the people, and I want to see generosity exploding forth. And when that happens, the walls of the church can't contain it. It will spill out into every region, into every area in this region. And the Lord said to me, this move of generosity is going to mark my heart, and it's going to mark this region. And what I'd love to do tonight is not so much love the movement, but love the man Christ Jesus. Because when we can love the man Christ Jesus, the movement is, it just flows. Does that sound good? Man, do you guys sense his presence? Isn't he so wonderful? So I just want to take a few minutes and just kind of brag on God. Because we're made in his image and he is so generous. And even earlier today when I was praying, I felt like the Lord like let me hear this conversation that they had in the Trinity when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were creating the world. And we know that there's generosity in their love. They're the most selfless, self-serving other. They give so much honor that generosity is just who they are. But I felt like they were talking about creation, and come with me for a second. And Abba was saying, all right, because of this generous love that we have toward each other, we're going to create mankind. And they were like, how long are we going to have this union? And he said, forever. What kind of love are we going to give mankind? Unconditional. Never failing, never ending. What kind of peace are we going to give mankind? You know what? Let's give them a peace that passes all understanding. How should we sow mercy? It's going to be new every morning. And out of this revelatory talk, when they're talking about, it was out of the generosity of their heart. It was out of the fullness. And then they're talking about how they're going to relate to mankind. And just stay with me. Stay with me. Jesus said, I'll go and represent you perfectly, Father. And the Spirit said, yeah, I'll go and I'll be the perfect representation. I'll be so generous. I'll actually reveal to them all that's been given to them. I'll reveal to them that, Father, you have given them all things that pertain to life and godliness, and they shall not lack any good thing. And then the Father looked at Jesus and he said, I'm going to make the fullness of all three of us dwell in you bodily. Colossians 2. So that when people look at Jesus, they know exactly what the Father's like. And it was just this like generous conversation of how can we share all of us with all of them? And that's how creation even started. And we look throughout the Old Testament and we see that people get marked by God, and out of that marking just flows generosity. We see Moses face to face with God, even what Kenny said tonight from the scripture that he had to veil his face because the glory of the Lord touched him so deeply. When he did, he actually said, I would be willing to give up my salvation so that Israel would know you, Lord. Wow. Paul even said that. Can I be honest? I don't know if I'm there. The generosity from the heart of Moses, Abraham, he saw the Lord. He was touched by the Lord so much that he'd be willing to give his firstborn son. Hosea, he was so in love with God that he was willing to give up his matrimonial dreams and marry a harlot who was unfaithful time and time again. And he gave unconditional love to his wife. And we see this just thread of generosity throughout the Old Testament. And then we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who is the pinnacle of all generosity. And we see that because every single part of Jesus is an exact representation of the Father, there wasn't one strand of DNA left out of Jesus that wasn't already in the Father. Every move he made, every sign he did, every prayer, every miracle, it radically displayed the good, good Father with whom there is no lack, who is so lavish and extravagant. I mean, even here, think about it. People's teeth are turning to gold. That is generous, right? I mean, his ways are so generous. And we look at Jesus and my goodness, the way he stewarded people, the way he stewarded the will of the Father, he only did what the Father said and did. he'd try to get alone to pray with the Father, and multitudes would follow him, and out of the generosity of his heart, he turned and had compassion. Time and time again, he stewarded the hearts of people so well because he was about his Father's business, and the Father is a generous God. And so, I was just thinking even earlier when people were getting touched by the Lord, that the way Jesus describes the celebration in heaven when one person turns to the Lord, that is a picture of his generosity. It's not just a quick shout of praise. It's not a golf clap. We see later in the chapter in Luke 15 that it's the prodigal son when he comes back. That's what the joy looks like in heaven. We throw a party. And this is who God is. And because this is who God is, this is who we are. In fact, maybe we change our new believers class and have an extravagant party. I don't know, maybe. But I want to, there's so much on generosity that talks about mammon and making for ourselves friends with unrighteous mammon and not letting mammon rule us and not loving money. And I actually want to zoom out to see that when our hearts are set ablaze by the King of Glory, mammon will serve us and not us serve it. And so, would you turn to Matthew 26? This quite possibly is my favorite scripture on generosity. Matthew 26, verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany, did I say verse 6? Okay, Matthew 26, 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, Mary, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And in another version, it says that she poured it on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me, you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." Now, catch this, verse 13. "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And some people think that this costly oil, this costly jar of oil, was Mary's entire inheritance. It would be like us signing over the deed of our house and laying it at the feet of Jesus. It would be like cashing out our bank accounts, our 401ks, our IRAs, whatever, and pouring it at the feet of Jesus just to tell him that we love him. Not even designated giving. It was just because she loved him. And that marked the heart of God to the point that wherever the gospel's preached in the entire world for all time, what she did will be spoken of. And I don't know about you, but I want a memorial from my worship, my extravagant, generous worship of God. And it's so much bigger than money. In fact, even when the widow came and brought two mites in the offering, Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, "Listen, she gave more than all the others put together, for they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty wholehearted generosity." And God looks at the heart. God sees this motivation of how we're generous, and there is an opportunity where the disciples criticized Mary. Jesus memorialized what she did. And I want you to think of this. Spurgeon said this. It's kind of a zinger. "Is anything wasted which is all for Jesus? It might rather seem as if all would be wasted which was not given to him." And my question tonight is, why we don't want to waste anything not giving it to Jesus. We don't want to waste a minute, a dollar, a worship set, a prayer, a morning time with him. We want to give it all to him because we've been touched by the one who's abundant, and we will abundantly give all to the one who gave all. This is good news because God has a call on this house to be a generous people, and we will be generous when we know just how generous he is. Just how good he is. And man, Bethany, many people say that the city of Bethany or the town of Bethany was a favorite of Jesus, that he frequented often because of the honor he found there. And I wonder if we could create a space for Jesus that he would dwell and he would come and live and incline, and we would experience the extravagance of the Lord in greater measures as we give him all that's due his name. And I want to say that generosity isn't tithing. It's not giving to get. It is a lot of things, but generosity, if we were to offer our heart to the Lord when we go to meet him face to face, and he opens up all these acts of generosity, and he says, this one loved me with all that they are. This one gave me all their heart and worship. This one gave me all their life and prayer. This one prayed without ceasing. This one loved me so much that she or he went anywhere and did anything. There was no ask too big, ask too wide for this person to say, yes, that is what God is after. And then all of this, all of the serving, all of the generosity will flow from this. You guys got this? Are you like, I already roll on this generosity, Megan? Generosity is a fruit of a redeemed life. Generosity is fruit of a forgiven life. Generosity reveals love and it reveals loyalty. So I know that where I'm giving, that's where my heart is, because that's what the scripture says. Where my heart is, there's my treasure. And so I'm giving because I've been redeemed. I remember when I got born again, I was a Saul to Paul. That was my conversion. I heard the voice of God. And after that, I shared with every single person. I had no money, and I bought Bibles for all of my friends. And then a few years later, I got healed. Radically healed from asthma. I was born with it. And I prayed for every single person for years and years after that, because I freely received. So I can't help but freely give. And so I'm wondering if we're tight-fisted in any areas. I'm wondering if there's scarcity or fear of running out or fear of lack or fear of failure that constrict this generous flow. And I just want to say that tonight God wants to touch our hearts so that we can come in a way where fear doesn't hold us. That I could be pulled by the Lord anywhere, and I would say, I'm not going to be afraid that this won't work out. I'm going to pray for that person. Or you know what, Lord, this is my last dollar. Lord, you want us to sell our business when I'm due with our child? That sounds like a great plan. That makes a lot of sense. The timing seems perfect. But you know what? I want him to find a yes. And I'm telling you, there are people in this house that I'd say in the last year, I've seen more moves of generosity than I've seen maybe in my whole life put together. And I just want to like speak over us, because we are a generous people. That's why we worship so long. Because we want to be generous to the heart of God for all that he's done. And there's worship in heaven for all time. That's the picture of generosity. And that's why we want to have prayer sets even almost every day. We're trying for every day because we want to be generous in our heart toward God. But there are people in here during the fast in January, This is very small, but it marked me. There was someone who opened up their house for mothers with young children and said, hey, we're going to watch anybody who comes with young kids from 9 to noon, so moms, you can go pray and seek the face of God. That marked me. It didn't cost, it might have cost something because they probably had snacks, but it didn't take a lot of resources. And I know someone's father in here who was believing for $5,000, and he got the $5,000 in the mail via a check. And the Lord told him to write $3,000 for someone else because he trusted God. There's so many stories of generosity that are mind-blowing. And I am excited to see all that God is going to do through us. And so I want to call us to saying yes to God. Because there's a ripple effect in generosity. Have you ever noticed that? When, like, I hear about generosity, I'm like, I want to be generous toward God. I see Steph Gretzinger worship, and I'm like, I want to worship God like that. Right? I see these moves, and I'm like, I wanna trust God like that. And it does something in you. It provokes you to a greater godliness, a greater yes. You wanna go where with your family? Forever? Wow, I wanna follow God like that. There's something so beautiful. Doesn't it touch your heart when you see money up here, people just freely giving? People freely receiving, taking care of our own. There's some generosity speaks in every language. And God wants us to be an open-handed people. I'm just listening to God right now because sometimes he has a way of taking detours. And I'm wondering what it would look like if we would be generous with the Spirit of God inside of us. I wonder what it would look like if we were a people who knew that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lived inside of us. The one who has the ability to break every yoke, set the captives free, to preach the gospel to the poor, to liberate those who are in captivity and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I wonder what it would look like if we heeded his yes, and if we didn't think of him as inconvenient, but as an opportunity to be generous. I find that sometimes the areas I have the greatest are the opportunities that God wants me just to let it flow. Lord, help us. Help us. So here's what we're going to do tonight. The Spirit of God has already been touching us. But I feel like this open-handed consecration that when we go to meet him face to face and he says, well done, you were so generous with me, with the revelation of me, with the Spirit of God that I gave you to live inside of you, for with every resource, that when we have this purity of heart, this devotion where we're like, you know what, I'll take all my inheritance and I will throw it at your feet. And anything that I don't, I'm actually going to consider a waste. And I'm going to give it all to you. Watch him breathe on your time. Watch him breathe on your relationships. Watch him breathe on every area of life. And I kept thinking of Paul. What if we could go to work with such a generous spirit? Think of Paul. He's building tents, right? He's building tents. And they're taking the apron off of his chest and the hanky that wipes his sweat and probably his snot off of him. They're so anointed that they're using his work gear to lay hands on the sick, and they're healed. What if we were so generous in our affection with God that it created an ecosystem where our clothing actually was tangible? And people were like, whoa, just bumped into your shadow. Or, whoa, can I have your shirt? I think it's anointed and it's going to heal me. Imagine. People are like, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, I'll go anywhere. Yes, God, I'll give this. I'll do that. Yeah, oh, you want me to dance? Oh, geez. Okay, I'll do that, Lord, because you're extravagant and you are good. And you would not ask me anything that you are not yourself. And I'm going to freely give because I'm a person who's been redeemed. And generosity is a fruit of redemption. Generosity is a fruit of a life that's been set free that says my life is not my own. And the way of the kingdom is to find your life, you have to lose it, right? To be first, you have to be last, right? To be exalted, you have to humble yourself. And to be generous, you have to be open-handed and give it all away. And I'm not giving to get. And it is more blessed to give than receive. But we want our heart, the affection of our heart to be so pure before the Lord. And there's going to be opportunities this year for every one of us to open our entire lives up before the Lord and say, Lord, find a generous person in me. So here's how we're gonna close. This house has a call to be a house of worship, a house of prayer, and a house of generosity that's lavish in our affections toward God, toward people, lavish in our prayer life. And we want, at the end of the day, to mark the heart of God like Mary marked the heart of Jesus. This is what we're after. We're after an inheritance. And God is after the inheritance right here. Right here. This is the richest inheritance we can give the Lord. And there's going to be a day. And it's so crazy. We sang about it earlier. I'm like, Shiv, how'd you know? There's going to be a day that we will see the culmination of all generosity. There will be a day, this day, will have such a glorious union when Jesus comes to meet his bride. And there's going to be a wild celebration. And heaven is going to come down to earth, and there's going to be no lack, no sadness, no pain, abundant resources, everything that you can imagine, and even better. Generosity literally will be everywhere. It will reach its zenith. And until that day, we have an invitation to walk as a people of radical generosity, of radical yes, that said, this is what the Lord was saying. When I saw people flooding out of this house, I heard unbelievers saying, this doesn't even make sense. This generosity people's jaws were slack. And think about it. When we are motivated by the love of God and all that he did on that cross, how can we not give all? And so I want you to take your communion. Hopefully we all have communion cups. If we don't, would you just wave your hands real quickly? We've got sprinters. Oh, dang. Where were you guys? All right. Let's talk about being to church. No, just kidding. You guys are in the choir, I get it.
Yeah, we do.
like these buckets never run out. The Lord's displaying his generosity. There's some of us in here who have built their lives around fear of running out. What if I don't have enough? What if I run out? What if I can't do this or pay that? And I feel like tonight when we take the blood and the body of Jesus, he's going to give us a revelation of the infinite, endless supply in the nature of Abba. That he is a good, good father. And he can only give good and perfect gifts. And even in Luke 11, I think it is, it says, when we're asking for all these things, he gives us what we ask for, and how much more will our good father give us the Spirit? He is rich in supply. And I feel like I saw this picture, so hopefully this makes sense to somebody. But I sense that there are people in here who are very boundaried with their time, boundaried with relationships, but it's actually from a place of fear and not from a place of health. And if that's you, I just sense like the breath of God just on every boundary that fear has erected. And I want you to picture your life just laid open before the Lord. And I want you to sense the invitation from the Father. Just saying, will you give me your all as I gave you my all? And any area you sense maybe like a tight fist, I want you to ask the Lord to breathe his nature, because we can only give what we've received. And so I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians 9. And the disciples are gathered around with their body and their blood, the communion elements, and this is what Paul writes. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So I want you to take the body of Jesus, and I want you to let the generous display on that cross hit you afresh. As you hear that bread break, I want you to let the reality that Jesus was broken so that we could be made whole. Jesus was wounded. He was striped so that we could be healed. And some of you, by taking the bread of Jesus Christ, are even being healed right now. So we thank you, God, for your body that was broken on our behalf. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper. And then he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you preach the Lord's death till he comes again. And so as you're taking the blood of Jesus, I want you to think about this blood spilling in every area of your life to empower a yes like never before. Allow him to speak, and then take this as a prophetic sign that you're saying yes to him wherever he calls you to go, whatever he says you'll do. Yeah, I sense that there are people in here who have been burned, even burned in business, that it's caused some clenched fists because you don't want to lose like you've lost before. And the Lord is saying, trust me, I am your good father who leads you beside still waters and green pastures. There's some who have been contending for a healing in here. And because of that, you're maybe hesitant to pray for others when the Spirit of the Lord prompts you or to believe for others. And I'm telling you, the Lord is saying that I am the Lord of your breakthrough. I am the God who heals. I am Jehovah Rapha. And you can minister. And I was thinking about the ripple effect of generosity and how if you think about one act of generosity could catalyze another person's obeying God. When I obey God to move toward this person, then this person's able to be mobilized to move where they're supposed to be mobilized. And there's a grand symphony of generosity. And on the flip side of that same coin, my hesitation, my rejection of being obedient actually can hinder someone else's ability to walk in the ways of God. And I was just reading this stat that at Starbucks there was an 11-hour pay it forward stretch where 378 cars did it. And I'm just saying we don't want to be that 379th car. That bottlenecks the generosity of God. I want us to see the heart of generosity as bigger than just our own lives. I want you to see it connected with the heart of God and connected with people. And at the end of this road is the face of Jesus. And when he goes to peel back our heart, when we go to meet him face to face, he says, oh my gosh, this was a generous heart. He opens our heart. And then there's more generous hearts that he discovers because we were generous. And there's many, 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 many hearts that have come to the knowledge of God because of a move of generosity from this house. And so my call to us is let's not let fear hinder a move of God. There is a greater move of God coming to this house where it will mark his heart and it will mark this valley. And I just want to ask that you would be open-handed tonight. And so if you would just stand, I'm just going to pray a blessing over us. would you come and move on us, Father God? Would you show us how extravagant you are as a father? How lavish your supply is as a father, that you even gave the Spirit so out of our bellies would flow, not trickle, flow rivers of living water. God, I pray right now that you would catalyze our hearts so that it would flow into every place, all of our time, all of our relationships, our family, our workplaces. God, let the DNA of your heart be found in every sphere of our lives, God. And I pray right now, I prophesy right now that out of this house will flow a river of saints, a river of priests with a towel around their arms who are rich in mercy, abounding in steadfast love, that are absolutely generous with all the fruits of the Spirit and their resources. And God, I pray right now that you would come and bring even just connections and promotions as a sign that you're testing us and you're saying, how generous will you be? How generous will you be? And I thank you, God, that you're bringing people across our path that are signposts to be generous. Lord, find a river, not a small, find a river. A river in our house. Find a river in our lives, God. Let us be givers, 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 wholehearted. And we just pray right now for your Spirit to come and germinate this word. That by your Spirit, we would see this come to pass. That we would be a people so filled with celebration and joy. And the biggest yes, that it would shake this nation. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Find us faithful. Find us wholehearted lovers. And we just want to do a soft close, but if you're believing for a miracle in your body, if you're believing, if you need a healing in your body, we're going to have our ministry team up here ministering, agreeing that the testimony of Jesus would liberate any condition, any diagnosis. And we want to agree with you. And if you feel like you need breakthrough and revelation of a good, good father, we're also up here to pray for you. But in the meantime, go and be blessed, be generous, and bring the Lord glory.